Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Isn't it nice to get away? Do, 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 do. Boom, boom. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows you're Jake. Do, 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 do. Late to the party with Travis Tate. Do, do, do. You want to go where everybody knows your name. That's our new theme song this week. We might have a new theme song every week. I don't know if it doesn't stick.
That was really special.
You guys, I just want to know that was not my idea.
Welcome.
That was management.
Welcome to Late to the Party with Travis Tate. You have Jake. You have Travis Tate. A lot of people call us the Sam and Diane of podcasting.
Yeah, there's definitely some sexual tension. I think we're more like the Sam and what was Rhea Perlman's character? Carla.
Carla.
No, we're the Carla and Coach of podcasting. Coach,
which one of us is going to die?
Probably me. Oh, that's something we haven't talked about. My weight loss adventure.
How did that relate to
dying? Coach, it made me think, because Coach died, and it made me think of my mortality.
Okay.
It was a very quick trip.
We'll have more to talk in that area later in the show, but please.
I'm down 12 pounds.
Yeah?
Yeah, 12 pounds.
Hey, good job, man.
Yep.
What's just clean living? What are you doing?
Not drinking sodas except for my cheat day. Eating a little bit better. Yeah. Protein shake for breakfast. I got like a protein water, Premier Protein. That's the one I like. It's very low sugar, like 3 grams of sugar. And then I have, the protein water for lunch and then a reasonable dinner. And then I just think about what I'm going to eat on my cheat day.
Huh.
Pizza, donuts, so many sodas.
I have slipped into, I can't remember if we had talked about this previously, but I've slipped into an area where I used to be like just buck wild, just eating stuff hand over fist all Saturday. I've gotten into a weird place where if I don't meter things out, I will have a big breakfast and just not be hungry for the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's where I would get to when I've done this program before. But I've noticed right now when I'm just kind of like going a little bit nuts halfway through the day on Saturday, I just feel terrible because I haven't been eating that stuff all week. Yeah, and my body's like, okay, we're getting used to this. And then all of a sudden I'm like shoving Hostess fruit pies. I'm like, I'm fruit pie the magician.
Yeah. Like my Saturday nights are disgusting. So I'm just like, there's only a few hours left. I could probably still eat a whole bag of Doritos. Oh, God.
I stopped at Del Taco on my way home this past weekend and just like, I was mowing down Del Taco. And then, of course, I was up at 4 in the morning.
There's a place upstate here from us called Rancheritos that we like to go get. We like to go get breakfast burritos there. But I can only eat about half of one because they're pretty substantial. But if I eat the whole one, I'm probably just not going to feel like lunch at that point. And
I love those Mexican places here. Rancheritos, Beto's, Alberto's. I mean, they're all kind of the same thing. Man, they're good, though.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. They have places like that in California, too. I know we've got a bunch of listeners in California.
I've heard people say that Utah has Mexican food relatively. Like, hey, California people, get off me. I know you're already getting mad, but I've heard some pretty credible people say. I'm gonna drop a name, sort of.
Let's hear it.
Comedian Jasmine Garza, who she does stand up back east. I grew up in her neighborhood, but I heard her on a show saying that saying stuff like "Don't kid yourself, Utah's Mexican food is pretty legitimate."
She's from here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you know of her?
No.
I don't know how famous she is. She does shows, but I only know because I grew up in the neighborhood with her. I don't think I really knew her that well growing up.
I don't want to say I've never heard of her name,
which is
because she's never heard of me. I just don't know of her. That's interesting that she's from here. Did she start doing stand up here?
I couldn't tell you. I became friends with her on the face page like it always goes, and then had saw that she does stand up shows. Oh, that's cool. And she did like a few podcasts, so I just listened to those, just see how, how's this woman doing? She's really funny, and kudos to her.
She probably started a lot earlier than I did, and she was already gone by the time I got going. So
couldn't tell you.
Sliding doors.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Just like you and me at Return of the Jedi. Sliding doors.
Boy, all these famous things.
All right, well, in this episode,
is it time?
We're going to get to part two of our...
So let me give you a little bit of background.
For Challenge for the Watch.
For the
Challenge 2018. Watch. Brought to you by...
Challenging show.
Amazon.
So, you know, let's follow up on that because toward the end of the show, you did the Amazon bit, and I went to, like, what is Amazon? It just redirects you to French Amazon, which I thought was pretty funny. So the little bit of background is Travis got a hold of me and was like, hey, why don't we do this thing where we each challenge one another to watch something that we like? And that's, you know, I want you to watch a little bit of Supernatural. And it, but as soon as you said that, my hair that doesn't exist lit on fire. And I was like, you watch Monkey King 2. Don't watch Monkey King 1. Watch Monkey King 2. I was just thumbing through stuff on Netflix to watch. And I came across this thing, Monkey King 2. And I was like, oh, huh. And the little trailer thing came up, and this guy in really intricate monkey makeup was having a, you know, wire work kung fu fight with a completely blue guy. I'm like, well, this is what I'm watching. And that movie paid out in spades.
It was awesome. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
I was so happy when you told me, like, yeah, I kind of dove deep on Monkey King stuff.
Yeah, I definitely went in the deep end on the Monkey King.
So... I forgot. Did you watch one first or did you watch two first?
I watched one first because I'm a bit of a completist, and when I searched up Monkey King on Netflix, both one and two came up. So yeah. I watched one first, and one has Chow Yun Fat in it.
Chow Yun Fat's in it.
Donnie Yen is the Monkey King.
Wukong in the first one.
And then I didn't know this till after I was done, but the guy who plays the big bad guy, like the bison. Demon King?
I can't remember if I even finished the first one.
Okay. Well, he plays the Monkey King in two and the upcoming three.
I will be very excited to watch the third when I have a chance. But yeah.
But the first one is really cool.
I think it might have just been from watching this. The second one set such a high bar, and watching the first one doesn't have such a silly tone to it, I think.
Right.
I think it's I was way into these, like,
The Monkey King himself has the silly tone. You know,
Donnie Yen is spectacular, but he's not as fun as the... And the makeup also looks a little weirder,
kind of. I thought, yeah, he looks a little more monkey-ish.
I mean, a movie that opens with a guy in that makeup trapped under a mountain and having it explode, and he's fighting a white tiger across rocks that are flying away. He calls a spear in.
And it just comes flying, yeah. The first one is...
It sets a real high bar when a movie starts that way.
The first one is more like... it has their heaven or whatever, the Monkey King heaven.
Yeah.
So it's like super high stakes. It's very like...
It's a Chinese movie, right?
Yeah. It's I don't know how long back the legend goes, but it's way far back in Chinese lore. Like every kid in China probably heard about... I was trying to think of an American equivalent, and I can't think of anything. The only thing I could think of is like Greek. Greek mythology. I mean,
Santa Claus isn't American, but it's just, you know, the... From cultural shock to my dumb American butt was just that, yeah, Monkey King, the Wukong Monkey King legend is super big. Like,
right. It's the closest thing I could think of is like Hercules.
Yeah.
Like we all grew up knowing what Hercules was, which goes clear back to Greek. And I don't know if the Monkey King goes back that far. It comes from a story called The Journey West,
yeah,
which they reference in Monkey King 2. And actually picks up, because the first Monkey King, it's kind of telling the story, like the origin story of Monkey King and how he came to be. But and it's kind of more like a Greek, you know, gods versus demons type of thing.
Yeah.
Or the Titans, which you would have in Greek mythology. But Monkey King 2 is more like an 80s Conan movie or Krull or something where they go on an adventure.
I don't think that this really does it any favors to say, but Monkey King and Monkey King 2 are very kind of a Conan the Barbarian, Conan the Destroyer in tone.
Yeah, that's fair. Monkey King, I actually, I Googled it and, you know, did a little research on it. And there's another movie that came out in 2008 called Forbidden Kingdom.
See, I actually did look for that and couldn't find it conveniently.
It's on Amazon Prime if you have Amazon.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's got Jackie Chan in it. It's got Jet Li. It's pretty awesome. That one has more, it's a more Hollywood quality. The only problem with that is it's a little bit young adult in that it's a modern day kid that gets pulled into the prophecy. And it also happens to be a white kid. It's the kid from Sky High. You could have got any kid from any time. Why they picked a white kid in New York is like kind of like
made in America.
Yeah. I mean, but that was my biggest problem with it. Other than that, it's an awesome movie. If you love Jackie Chan and Jet Li, like I do,
it's so hard to beat. Like, so I watched it. I started watching it and immediately grabbed Gabe and I was like, you are watching this with me. The point that I grabbed Gabe was when he tells him nothing can get past his scary fire eyes.
Oh yeah.
And then whips his hands across and gets these big flaming eyes. Like, whoa. Okay. But then it's, so he that part happens where he just has this really out of nowhere conversation about his eyes and how scary he is.
Mm-hmm.
And then again out of nowhere he's these women kind of oh no and the subtitles are going pervert.
Oh yeah.
And these women are running around like, what is going on? And it cuts to this dude in a kimono with a parasol and snow is falling on him out of nowhere and he looks very mellow and he's looking around. And I'm like, what is going on? And he walks down, and he and Wukong kind of square off, and they look at each other, and they look back and forth, and they look back and forth, and they look back and forth. And the dude just starts going. And Wukong looks surprised, so he goes. And they have this crazy clucking at each other. And I stop there. I'm like, Gabe, you got to come out and watch this. This is the best thing I've ever seen. We have to watch this.
It's definitely fun.
Just that part where they start, and they never even explain what the clucking at each other is.
Well, I mean, you find out that character isn't human.
Yeah.
So it's got to be some sort of demon language or something like that.
It is.
Which is weird because in the first movie they refer to Monkey King as being like a god. And then in the second one they refer to him as being like a demon.
Well,
so I don't know if it's any animal that is like humanoid is a demon.
Isn't the first one that he, boy, it's been so long since I watched the first one. Isn't it something like the crystal that he's in is like a break off of a god or something like that?
Yeah. Well, he's in the first one, the demons are invading heaven.
Yeah.
And one of the gods, I can't remember what her name is, but she kind of sacrifices herself to spare the heavens to create a barrier made of crystals around heaven so the demons can't get in. And some of the crystals go to Earth or whatever and go into this monkey, little monkey embryo.
Yeah.
And he starts to grow in the side of a mountain. So he's kind of like monkey Jesus a little bit. I don't know. All I know is that it's fun.
that movie.
It's a little bit Land of the Lost or Zubily Zoo.
Movies from China have a really like action movies like that. And oddly enough, that terrible movie, The Great Wall with Matt Damon, they special effects in those movies have a really strange, uncanny valley sense of they're really detailed and move really well, but there's just something I can't quite explain about them. They're like, oh, these special effects are not quite right.
They're better than Sharknado, guys.
Yeah.
Which is something just experienced.
I love Monkey King 2. The monk in it could really use to just let Wukong do his work.
Yeah, let him kill people. Get over it.
Stop stopping him. Let him be.
Yeah, the monk goes a little too far. I actually started watching... there's a show called New Adventures of Monkey, and it's on Netflix. And I got into that because of all the other movies that I delved into. And the show's not as good. I'm like four episodes in.
It's got a very Hercules the Legendary.
It's Hercules Xena kind of feel. It was made in Australia or New Zealand or something. In one of those countries. And the monk, I don't know if it's the same monk. It's a girl monk in the TV series. And also, the thing that really bugs me is Wukong is just a dude.
Yeah.
He's just a dude.
Did you look at the stuff about like how rough that makeup is for the, like, that's the reason, supposedly that's the reason why, one of the large reasons why Donnie Yen didn't come back is he did not, that makeup was just too much for him.
I mean, it's not the most.
It took 6 hours to apply. I think it said that the guy who was in it was like fasting because it was just trying to eat, like trying, needing to use the bathroom was way too big of a hassle. So he would just fast so that he wouldn't have to deal with it. It's just,
I love the suit in the first one. In the first one, he gets this suit. Okay, I don't know how much of the first one you saw, but he goes underwater and finds this underwater civilization. This is the origin of story of how he gets his staff. So there's these people living underwater.
Does he put the staff in his ear?
I don't know if it's in his ear or like in his hair. He shrinks it down and like puts it in his hair like a pin or something.
Yeah.
And at some point, I think he uses it to like wrap his hair because his hair is a little bit long. But he goes underwater and he goes, I'm going to borrow some stuff because he needs weapons.
I did watch that far. I do remember that.
So he steals this suit that's got these two long feathers that look like antennas. And he also breaks this giant rock that's supposed to hold the oceans in place. And the oceans start going nuts and form a tidal wave. And then he shrinks the rock down into a little tiny staff. And it's got magical powers. It's kind of like Mjolnir for him.
This is a weird thing to say about that, but I think that the first movie feels like they're working so hard on origin that it feels unfocused.
Oh, yeah.
It just feels like lots of things.
And then this happened.
The second one has a very specific, they're on this journey with the scriptures.
And yeah, it's like the first leg of a journey. And the thing about two is they don't actually accomplish anything.
No.
They get sidetracked, and that's the entire movie, is this first thing that they come across.
Well, and Wukong isn't really he's not really the focus of the second movie.
Yeah, that's true. It's the monk. This is subtitles, by the way, guys. You got to read this movie.
It's worth it. But I also honestly think that if you weren't even reading the subtitles, that the movie comes across, and it's still
you get the gist of it. It's very fairy tale. So if you're into fairy tales and kung fu, watch the Monkey King, guys. Watch
Monkey King 2.
I recommend all of them. Not
necessarily watch New Adventures of Monkey, unless you're...
I'm still going to watch it. I started it, so I'm going to finish it.
We fell off eventually.
I mean, I started Jessica Jones 2 years ago, and I've still got one episode of that to watch in season one. It's just such a depressing thing. But if I start some, I've got to finish it eventually.
The second season of Jessica Jones came out, didn't it?
I've still got one to go in the first season. That's where I'm at.
I need to buckle down, and I definitely want to watch the second season of Luke Cage. I definitely want to watch second season of Jessica Jones. I don't think I'm ever coming back to Iron Fist, though they did announce the second season of Iron
Fist. Yeah, I saw that. I haven't watched any of Iron Fist. I just heard it's not good.
It's really not good.
Is it really?
It's really not good.
They need some Monkey King in it?
Yes. Oh, yes. you know what? That you're not wrong. It's the kung fu in it isn't really exciting.
A blonde perm isn't good at kung fu?
Yeah, well, that was one of some of the baggage they had to go with on that one, that it was always going to have to
talk about something that should have been recast to another race. It should have been Iron Fist.
Well, it's so hard.
All the things that they changed the race on, why didn't they change that one?
The whole that's one that's difficult, because part of the backstory of that was like his family. He's a super rich kid.
Okay.
Their family crashes, and he's the only survivor and is taken in by these monks. And he ends up being the chosen one, which, you know, of course, a white kid would be, I guess. That's part of the problem. But I think with that one, if you take away the I'm a rich outsider, I don't know where you tell that story from at that point, because that's kind of...
Do you just find some dude in China that's the chosen one?
Yeah, but at that point, like, but then...
It's not that hard.
How come... Because the point is that, Kunlun, the city, the ancient city that he's in, or City of Heaven or whatever, it's, like... If he's not that character, how does he ever end up coming to New York? Why is he not just going to stay and defend that city?
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I really get it. He shouldn't...
Maybe he wants to try stand-up comedy.
He shouldn't... He really should be... It kind of should be recast, but then... I don't know. It becomes kind of an average kung fu story at that point. Hmm. Which also... Marvel has that character in its universe that is an Asian guy, and it is an average kung fu guy. So,
the only thing I liked about Jessica Jones is Breaking Luke Cage. Beds. No, Luke Cage.
That is Luke Cage.
I will get to the Luke Cage series as soon as I finish Jessica Jones. I'm trying to go in order, and I'm so far behind, I don't even know the order. I've seen both seasons of Daredevil. Yeah. And the one with Punisher is great.
Did you watch the Punisher one?
I haven't watched the Punisher series yet. I'm behind. I'm super behind.
That one is rough.
But I was a huge David Tennant fan as Doctor Who and a bunch of other things he's done too. But he is so creepy as Kilgrave.
I think it's a good role for him to not have to eternally live under being the Doctor.
I get the great job he did doing it. Yeah. If it creeped me out, then he obviously did a good job.
The source material it's based on is, I think, even creepier, but he does a real good job by what, you know, that is.
But Jessica Jones is such a sad sack. It's like, come on.
The girl's been through a lot, Travis.
Yeah, I guess it sucks being indestructible.
She's not indestructible either. Well, Luke is the indestructible one. She is relatively indestructible.
Relatively. They should have called it that.
Relatively indestructible.
After they get married and have a family, they could call it relatively indestructible. Where were we? We were talking about the Monkey King.
Oh, can never stop talking about
it. Dig into the Monkey King, guys. I actually kind of want to like find the books. Because I'm assuming that's where it comes from.
I'm going to assume that if you look at... I didn't do
Journey to the West
that far. Well, like, it's so my beloved video games. There is a game called Enslaved Journey to the West that's mm-hmm. sort of a post-apocalyptic sort of take on the Monkey King. Most games that are sort of a multiplayer thing, they will end up having a Wukong Monkey King skin.
Hmm.
And talking to people that I know that work in that stuff, they said, like, yeah, that's a huge thing that sells, like, you get into those the lucrative China markets and you'll sell real well with a Monkey King costume.
Well, I mean, I hope they keep making them. Obviously, they're making a third one. It's one of the most expensive. I think the
third one is out overseas.
Yeah, it is. And I read it was one of the most, like, in the top five most expensive movies ever to come out of China.
China is getting to be a... Well, I mean... That's where American movies make their crazy money.
Like, that's where Skyscraper made money. Terrible. I read that.
Is it?
Yeah.
We
didn't do much here.
We thought about going and seeing Skyscraper last weekend. We opted for that Ant-Man and Wasp action.
Yeah, that's probably a good choice. Oh. I love The Rock, but I saw Rampage. Rampage was really good.
Rampage?
I liked it a lot, actually. Yeah. There was actually... It was one of those movies that slips in a conservation message without being too heavy-handed, I think. Because it talks about poachers. And that's how they come to find George in the first place.
Yeah.
Although I did say to my wife, I think The Rock got $5,000 every time he said the name George. Because he says it about 87,000 times in the movie.
I'd like to go back and thank Clint Eastwood for making it so the... The greatest joke you can ever do in a movie featuring a primate is to make it flip people off.
Yeah, it definitely had that a couple times.
Yeah.
That was glad. You know how it gives you the PG-13 for language and crude gestures? I was like, are we going to get some hip thrusts? Nope, it was a birdie finger. but it was a fun movie. And the way the animals die in it is pretty cool, actually, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to check it out.
Actually, when I saw the trailer, I thought it was going to be aliens that caused the growth.
Editing or whatever.
Right. And there's actually some people in it that are familiar from other things. There was a doctor at the beginning. I'm like, she looks familiar. And her name was Marley Shelton. She was in a bunch of stuff in the 90s. She was in Bubble Boy. Remember Bubble Boy?
I didn't see Bubble Boy.
Oh, my gosh. She was impressive in Bubble Boy. But it also had Naomi Harris. She's in the Bond movie. She plays Moneypenny now.
Oh, okay.
And she was also Calypso in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Oh, well, that...
She's really good in it. The Rock, for what it is, it's a movie about creatures becoming giant and destroying a city. For what it is, it's actually pretty fun. Plus, Jeffrey Dean Morgan's in it.
Yeah.
And he's super Texas-y, and at first it's annoying, but then you kind of like, yeah, I like the Texas-y thing now. Okay. You come around on him. It's a good movie, though. Check it out.
Okay.
The episode's going to be called Check It Out. Oh, check it out.
I have a massive Check It Out for Chito Extol.
Okay.
So, when around 2008-ish, I was stealing comics online, because that's what you do. And I came across this this little indie comic called, well, I mean, I think it came out on Image Comics, called I Kill Giants.
Hmm.
I have the trade paperback that I bought 2 days ago with me here, as you can see, Travis.
I can see it.
Very elegant. So I read it in 2008, and it's really, really good. Several years later, it has some themes in it that I ended up relating to in the passing of my father, which is a whole separate other thing. But I had heard some years ago that they were going to make a movie of it. I was like, ooh, I love I Kill Giants. Oh, they're going to make a movie? Boy, that's a scary prospect, because it has a very heavy theme to it. Specifically, recently, the Wrinkle in Time movie that came out, and go like, boy, they really swung for the fences of trying to make this as please come see our movie as possible.
It looked really weird. I still haven't seen it.
That's a book that...
Sorry, Oprah.
That's
if you're
a book
listening.
That growing up that I was really... it was really that Wrinkle in Time was a book that was very special to me growing up.
Was that out when we were kids? I thought it was like, yeah,
oh, those are,
Wrinkle
those
in Time.
I believe those predate us. I was in grade school
really?
Reading those.
I just kind of, I remember seeing them when my oldest was in school, and I thought maybe it was kind of like in the Percy Jackson, Harry Potter generation
books. No. Those
I didn't realize I'd been out that long.
Either those predate us or they're very close, because I read those in grade school.
Oh, okay.
And when
I read The Great Brain.
When the movies came around, when the movie came around, I picked up a few of them and read them. I'm like, wow, they're really interesting books, especially for that age. They don't, I've told you before, like I kind of, YA stuff sort of rubs me wrong. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I read these when I was in grade school, and they're still stories for kids, but they're just, I think the thing that really always rubs me the wrong way is YA always has to stride into sassy teens.
Right. Like, ignoring
like
adults.
Sassy teens that you can tell an adult wrote how sassy this teen is.
Right.
Anyway.
Gilmore Girls. Kind of like that.
I'm having too long of a pass away on this right now. But anyway, the Wrinkle in Time movies, I haven't seen it. It just looks like it misses the mark for what I wanted for that story.
Mm-hmm.
Probably doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. I wanted something different tonally. So I Kill Giants, I had heard this movie coming up, and I thought, oh boy, I hope they can do it. Was bumming around on Hulu the other night and saw the I Kill Giants movie. Like they made that? It's out? And immediately was like, well, I'm watching all of this now. And then did something that I'm generally not much of an online impulse buyer. Like, you know, I'll buy stuff, but I always run it through the wife. Cause, you know. But I immediately went to Amazon. I'm like, well, I need to buy this. I need to read it as soon as possible to be able to compare. So I watched the movie is great. You can kind of tell that they didn't have much of a budget. Zoe Saldana is in it.
Okay.
Can't quite remember. Something Wolf is the young girl who's in it. But it is just a spectacular adaptation of this thing that I loved from 10 years ago.
What's it about?
So it's about this girl, Barbara, who lives in a small...
Barbara?
Barbara.
Have you ever seen Flight of the Conchords?
I haven't.
There's an episode with Kristen Wiig where one of them thinks her name is Barbara, and the other guy keeps saying Barbara, and they keep correcting each other, and then you find out at the end her name actually is Barbara.
Barbara?
Sorry.
No, this is a regular bar. This is Barbara Thorson. She lives in a small coastal town, and she kills giants. She's very self-serious. She is very rude to adults. She's very rude to people. And it's just, it's about her being a very awkward young girl who believes that she kills giants, and about her dysfunctional family, and about something going on in her home that she's trying to avoid.
So is it kind of, you're trying to figure out as a reader or watcher of the movie, is she actually killing giants, or
is she just
is she imagining it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty much right. It, but it's...
So it's a little Pete's Dragon-y?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's extremely heartfelt and just very emotional for me. Is this a safe space?
This is a safe space.
I ugly cried at the end of the movie. Because it relates to the passing of my dad, and it just broke me. Hmm. And it's, you know, so if you have Hulu or if you have any access to it, watch I Kill Giants. It is, I can't recommend it enough.
I'm going to watch
it. You know what? If you got 16 Bones, the movie tie-in version of the trade paperback of it, it's a super fast read. It's available on Amazon. You get it 2 days with Prime. Across the board, I can't recommend enough. I watched it and I thought, well, you know, there are a few things I think that were different, that, you know, that something was telegraphed or so-and-so that I remember from it. But again, I haven't read it for 10 years. I ordered it. I busted my hump and read it in about an hour before you got here. And I was like, no, they knocked it out of the park. The adaptation is great.
Good.
I was misremembering things. And so, hey, hopefully.
That's awesome.
Hopefully you can take a watch of it and let me know what you think. You got access to that Hulu?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Then
I'll definitely watch it.
Go for it.
While we're in a serious thing, this is something I've always wondered about. I feel like I have a son that's actually on the spectrum, so I'm not belittling or making fun. But there are times where I actually feel that I have a little bit of autism in myself. Mm-hmm. And one of the things where it really hits me is like when you see somebody on Facebook post about somebody close to them dying. I don't know how to react to that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Am I the only one that doesn't know how to react? Because you feel bad, but you don't know what to say.
No, I get like that a little bit too.
Because you want to be compassionate, but then it's like thoughts and prayers is just kind of like
tissue
paper at this point. You know what I mean?
Has damaged itself beyond repair.
And if it's somebody you haven't seen for a while, or you don't really know, or you just kind of know through Facebook, you're like, do they really want to hear from me saying I'm really sorry about this? Are they,
well,
or do they want to read Facebook about this?
It's a challenge of, it's similar to my Marc Maron story of, the thing that you want to avoid is, you don't want to unload on that person and make them the onus is on them,
right,
to make you feel good about the thing you just told
them. Because you've made it about you.
The thing you only want is to make that person feel loved and supported.
Right.
And just know, you know, I'm here for you in this moment.
But I don't know how to express that.
No, that's a challenge.
I definitely have some sort of miswiring in my brain where I
ticks myself.
I read things and I'm like, oh man, that sucks. And I'll think about it for a day or maybe it sticks with me, but I'm like, I don't know what to say.
Well, it takes on,
or if I should say anything.
It takes on different contexts as you get older, and it takes on different contexts having been through some big losses.
Yeah,
so it becomes different versions of trying to figure out what to say when, you know, it's not a grandpa or something dying,
right,
or an uncle, or, you know, someone who is distant dying. It's your father, or it's someone's wife, or you know, just someone or someone's child. Mm-hmm. You know, those are massive things that
right.
it's so different than someone who I spend a lot, someone who's special to me but is a little more distant from me, mm-hmm. versus, you know, let's just say having your own kid and then having someone who's a friend having their kid die, and just understanding, trying to unpack, boy, I have something of an idea of how devastating it would be to have my beloved son take it from me.
Right.
How do I possibly express to this person, you know, I how do you express to someone, holy cow, I can't even begin to fathom what you're going through, and I want to try to help you rebuild yourself because you must obviously be broken.
Right. And
but I don't want you to have to, again, I don't want to burden you with having to make me feel better.
Right. And those are the things that go through my head, but I'm like, I usually just end up not saying anything because I'm like, but you see a celebrity die and people are on social media. Oh, you know, Robin Williams, he was a big one. People are posting, and I think I was even guilty of Robin Williams posting about how big of a deal he was to me and helped me, you know, inspired me to get into stand up or something like that. But every time a big celebrity dies, like Anthony Bourdain a couple weeks ago, I love Anthony Bourdain. I watch all of his shows that I can. I always thought he was one of those people I'd want to meet and try to make laugh. If I could get Anthony Bourdain to laugh, that would be like a notch on my, not bedpost, but
belt.
Yeah, belt. A notch belt on my belt. Belt
you were looking for.
But when he died, all these people are posting all this stuff like they knew him. And like,
he outside of like cooking shows, I was not that familiar with Anthony Bourdain, but reading from a few people I know, there was a lot of Anthony Bourdain outside of being a personable person on cooking shows. He mm-hmm. was, from what they've told me, his cooking shows were almost less about food and more about teaching people to not be afraid of the outside world and try to experience everything and learn to love other cultures.
Yeah, they're mainly travel shows. He doesn't really do cooking shows.
I guess he had a lot of issues with the depression, and I think it was to understand he'd spoken a lot. Like, he touched people deeper in a lot right. of ways.
And I get that because it hit me too. But when a celebrity dies and everybody starts posting about it, they're making about them.
Yeah. Well,
and maybe it's a way to cope, but that just brings me back to, I don't know what to say to somebody going through a tragedy, even if it's not a death, if it's, you know, somebody's house burnt down or something really bad. I just don't have, I've got this disconnect in my brain where I definitely feel for the person, but I don't know how to put that into words and not sound like I'm just somebody going thoughts and prayers or trying to make it about me. I don't know. This was a weird thing to bring up.
Maybe you just need a signature thing of your own. You need to, okay, here's what you need to do.
I need a Bitmoji of me with a crying face.
Sort of. Here's what you need to do. You need to go around to everyone you love and tell them, you need to sit them down, say, this is serious. I tell them how much they mean to you and tell them, look, something bad will eventually happen to you because it eventually happens to all of us.
Right.
You can't fight something eventually happening to you. So, okay, you mean so much to me. Something will eventually happen to you. I adore you. I love you. Whatever. What have you. I want to be there for you and love you in that moment. So I've told you all of this. You know all of this now. So...
And I try to do that, right.
But let them know. When the moment happens, there will be a catchphrase that will be all of this, but know in the moment. And then just pick something like, so when that happens, when someone's dad dies, put your hand on their shoulder and say, toss salad and scrambled eggs.
I was going to say fillet of fish.
And they will look at you and know.
They'll know that's what you mean. I think we need to lighten it up a little. Okay. We got a little serious and a little... dreary, but it's just something that came into my head that I've always
I do think about that stuff too much in the realm of just what I told you about, you know, meeting comedians that I like it's just I don't want to put the burden on them to make me feel special. I just want to make them feel special and be able to walk
right. No,
and
no, just I get like that, for
yeah,
sure.
I get I think I get that too, that you want to support the people who are special to you. You want them to feel that without feeling like they need to reciprocate.
Right. Well, you asked if this was a safe zone. Here's a story.
I cried so hard last night. It felt so good.
It did?
So good. I talked about it. I'm not going to tell
you. Like Iron Giant?
No, worse.
Worse?
Iron Giant is like 80s commercial single tear starts and like all this kind of... And tears will run. Like I'm not kidding. I'm going to make the face at you right now. This one's just for you, Travis. Like I'm at the point of like, just, and I'm talking, the TV's saying stuff and I'm talking back to it. Like
the face was, by the way, like I just stepped on a Lego. That was the face.
No, it was, so from reading it, I kind of knew what the ending was going to be. And, through some points in the story, some things were alluded to and I could sort of start feeling that twinge. And I'm like, you know what? When the end happens, I'm just going to let everything go. It felt great.
Yep.
Felt great.
Get it out. Yeah. Why not? Why not? So you asked if it was a safe zone. So I read a story. A man, I can't remember where it was. It was in like Alabama or something like that, I think, was walking around nude inside a Planet Fitness.
That place says no judgment. Is that what he said?
This was a judgment-free zone. And if you saw him, he looked like Ted Kaczynski. He was not the guy you want to see walking around nude. It was full caveman.
Oh, man.
He probably was unwashed. Like, hit the showers first, fella.
So it was the safe zone that you looked at him and said, I could go with that.
It was a judgmental zone.
It opened up a whole new, like... You didn't know you were into that kind of thing, or?
No. I mean, I didn't see video. I just saw a picture of the dude, like his mugshot.
Oh.
Yeah, he was a hairy, hairy fella.
So how do they know? Did they not know he was naked for a while?
I don't know. I just saw the...
No, I had a Planet Fitness membership for a while. Have you ever had a Planet Fitness membership?
No.
So do you know about the Lunk Alarm?
Lunk Alarm? No.
They have a thing.
Can I guess what it is?
Okay, go for it.
It's probably like meatheads throwing weights around.
Yeah.
Really?
But they so I never saw this happen. I just saw it. It's got a big red alarm and it has rules about throwing weights and meatheads and stuff like that.
Right.
Apparently those actually will trigger if you're throwing weights.
Oh, so it's a sensor?
Yeah, it's like thing that will trigger.
I thought maybe it was like a button somebody walks over and pushes.
I've seen videos of them triggering, and I think I saw a video where one was like tamped way too far up, and a guy like had a pen and threw it, and it went off.
Oh wow!
I thought it was decorative. I didn't think that they actually went off.
It's a mating ritual. Guys throwing the weights around, like grunting, throwing this. I mean, if you're throwing a 25-pound dumbbell around, you're probably not going to get very many ladies, but. If you're throwing like a 100-pound dumbbell, have you ever curled a 100-pound dumbbell?
No, probably not. No,
I have.
I
want to prove that I can still do it. They have them at the Shields. I'm not going to buy one because it's a dollar per pound. I'm not going to spend $100 on it, and I also don't have enough a big enough bar to make a 100-pound dumbbell at home. But yeah, I want to prove that I can still do it. My wife thinks I'm going to tear my bicep or something.
We're in the judgment. And you know, it's one of those things. She knows better. You're going to try and do it and you're going to hurt yourself.
Oh yeah. I'm definitely going to hurt myself. It'll probably slip out of my hand and fall on my foot. And then I'll like tip over and knock something else over. And it'll be like a whole like Three Stooges bit.
We're in the judgment free zone again. I want to do more weightlifting. I just don't. I don't know. I don't know dick about lifting weight. So
just start doing push-ups.
I do push-up. That was when I was the greatest, Jake. I got up to where I could do 50 push-ups in one sitting.
Want to know something? I found out that they do on DDP yoga.
What?
You do imaginary weightlifting. That's not what they call it. They call it something else. But you pretend like you're bench pressing. And you use every muscle you would, and it actually feels really good to do it. Like,
It really works.
Yeah, like if I'm at work and I go in the bathroom and I'm washing my hands, as I'm drying them, I'll like do like 10 pretend. Like, and you're activating every muscle you've got that you would do if you were bench pressing 300 pounds. And maybe it does something, maybe it doesn't. It doesn't hurt, that's for sure. If anything else, it's stretching a little bit.
When I was the greatest Jake, I had gotten into the habit of doing push-ups after every meal. And I got up to like just 50 push-ups. And
I couldn't do 50 push-ups right now.
I'm trying to get back to where I'm consistent, but I can do about 15. So
I could probably hit 20, 25.
But yeah, I have a rec center membership, and we go and I go and, you know, do elliptical or do the, or run in shame, because I'm ridiculously self-conscious, but I'll do that. I'll walk into the like weight room and like do two machines. I'm like, I don't know if this worked at all, but it just did it, I guess. So I need to find some way to learn how to do a consistent routine.
I need to get my elbows scoped out, because whenever I bench
really muscly elbows.
Well, no, there's like scar tissue and like bone chips and stuff. Whenever I lift weights anymore, the next day for like a week, I can't move my elbows.
Crazy.
It just hurts so bad that I don't do it.
I mean, when you're, you know, it's not just like stiffness or anything like that.
No, it's tendon and it's yeah.
Bummer.
So yeah, I need to get those cleaned up. Here's something I wanted. I think real quick before we move on, since we just finished our challenge watch,
okay,
we should challenge watch each other for the next recordings.
You want me to just come up with something on the spot?
If you have something, I have something in mind.
Okay, what do you got in mind?
I watched a movie, and we talked about it in between episodes here, and you said you haven't seen it, and you needed motivation to see it, apparently. I want you to watch The Room.
You need to watch The Room.
The Tommy Wiseau movie, The Room. It is the best. My son loves watching terrible movies, and this is one of the most terrible movies ever made. There's nudity in it, I need to warn you, which was super uncomfortable watching nudity with my 22-year-old son.
I'm
that has Asperger's. But they did repeat the same sex scene twice. It was the exact same sex scene twice.
Man, now I'm bummed out, because I want to have a suggestion for you, but I'm just blank right now. So I'll have to, off the air, I'll have to come up with
that's all right for you. It'll be a surprise.
See, I kind of feel like I missed the boat on The Room, because when it was, it's just, I don't know what to think about that movie.
Do you like seeing grown men play catch?
I mean, I know about that stuff. It's just,
and they're like 2 feet apart. Because it's amazing to see.
It has such a weird place in movies of, like,
I can't stop saying too hard.
I think it's just that. Okay, so here's what I think is: a movie that's trying too hard to be a bad movie stinks. A movie that's swinging for the fences and isn't just a dumpster fire,
right,
can be really fun.
This movie,
The Room, I think, is probably in that category of swinging for the fences and being fun to watch, but it's been given so much artistic credit over the years that I'm like, this movie doesn't deserve this.
This was a man that was trying to be the victim. He wanted to show everybody that he was a victim in this movie, because it's about his girlfriend cheating on him. And the whole movie is about how he's such a great guy, and this woman is just like mental patient cheating on him. Like, one minute she's fine, the next minute she's like got split personality, basically. There's a scene where she's talking to her mom, and in one minute she's talking about how great Tommy is, and then the next scene, or the very next sentence, she's talking about how she hates him and he hits her, which he doesn't, by the way.
I never hit her.
I cannot stop saying, oh, hi Mark.
Hi Mark, yeah.
My son and I were watching, we watched Jaws 2, 3, and 4.
How did that go for you? Man, Jaws is so good. But
we just kept saying, oh, hi, shark.
Hi, shark.
every time the shark would shout, oh, hi, shark.
So how far do they drop off after the first one?
2 is not terrible.
Yeah?
I had never seen any but the first one, which is a masterpiece. It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah. The original is, you can't fight that.
It's 2 is so just okay. It's not a terrible movie, but it's also not very good. It's just, eh, it's meh, okay? Meh. Three, I remember seeing bits and pieces when I was a kid, and it's hilarious. It's so bad. It takes place at SeaWorld. They actually use SeaWorld.
Is that one where the giant one breaks through the glass?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it like a ridiculously huge shark too?
Yeah, because at the beginning of the movie, they catch the shark that's attacking people, and it's just a regular size great white shark. Turns out that's just the baby. And then mama comes, and it's insane. The shark has zero movement. It just kind of floats towards things and rams into them and breaks them. It's great.
But you didn't watch The Revenge?
Oh, I did. But three has a young Leah Thompson in it.
Oh, yeah?
And Dennis Quaid is in it. He plays the oldest son. That's the thing, is in three, it's the two sons. One is working at SeaWorld. Yeah. The characters are, I can't remember, that Michael and Sean Brody, I think. Anyway.
Wait.
What?
I'm trying to think about timelines.
Don't think about timelines. It doesn't add up.
Like, wouldn't Dennis Quaid be too old to be that kid?
I mean, he was pretty young, and it was like 83 or something like that. But yeah. he was a little old to be. But don't.
Is it supposed to be in the future?
I don't know. Maybe. You can't think is about the timelines to be in,
like,
of it.
The far flung future of 1992.
Well, here's the deal: the youngest son, because in the second one, he gets stranded out in the water, and the shark almost eats him. So he's terrorized by that. So in three, he moves to Montana and becomes a cowboy. And he comes to visit his brother for whatever reason. I can't remember. They're getting married or something. I don't know. And so he's pretty much landlocked his whole life. And when you get to four, youngest brother is still living in Amity, and he is now the deputy. And he gets eaten. But he's not the same character. They're both played by different people. And the character that Dennis Quaid was playing in four is living in Jamaica or somewhere in the Caribbean. And Mario Van Peebles is in it. And hey, his Jamaican accent...
Are you talking about Solos?
Solo, yep. His accent is so bad that even though he's black, it felt racist.
Oh.
It is so bad. It was like a Red Stripe commercial. It was something else. The sharks are terrible. Michael Caine is in the fourth one. Michael Caine.
Have you heard the famous
in the
Michael...
Let me finish this. The fourth one, the shark follows the mom from Amity, which is in New England, all the way down to the Caribbean to finish them off. And Michael Caine is trying to... Well, let's just say Michael Caine and the shark are both having a contest to see who can be the first one to get up in the guts of Mrs. Brody.
Well,
it's very awkward. Michael Caine is a pilot. He's terrible in it. So it's a terrible
movie. You heard the famous Michael Caine quote about that?
What?
You know, I don't know how...
His name is Hoagie in the movie, by the way.
Hoagie. I can't remember how...
My name is Hoagie. Master Bruce.
Someone asked him about... I want to say he might have won a Razzie for it. And in his acceptance, he said something... No. It was... Gosh. Man, I stink. I think it was he missed out on the Oscars. He missed winning an Oscar to film Jaws for the Revenge. And someone asked him... how he felt about that movie, and he said something effective. I've never seen the movie, but I've seen the house that it bought, and it's glorious, or something.
Good
like
for
that.
Him. So. Good. I mean, it's a terrible movie. Three is just kind of silly. Four is just really bad.
Yeah,
and Michael Caine's not very good in it. Like his character's named Hoagie. It's bad.
So, all right. So
I did want him to say Master Bruce in the movie, because Bruce is the name of the shark in the first Jaws.
How do you handle pretty crazy violence?
Nah, I'm fine with it.
Have you ever seen Punisher Warzone?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, yeah. See,
Yeah.
Killing me.
Have you ever seen the Dolph Lundgren Punisher?
Yeah, I've seen all the Punisher.
That one's pretty violent. We watched...
I don't remember the Dolph Lundgren one very well, but...
So we got into the Jaws movies because of Shark Week, I guess. I don't know. But then that led us into starting to watch Riff Tracks, because there's tons of Riff Tracks on Hulu.
Yeah, I've never done that, because it's the guys from MST3K, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's a ton of them on Hulu.
You big on MST3K?
Yeah, love it. I want to do it. I wish I could do that. I would love to watch the movie, write jokes about it, and then perform them for people while they're watching it. That's a dream of mine. But we watched one called The Last Shark, and it was basically Jaws, but even bigger. And it had like super gruesome, but also super fake deaths.
Yeah.
Like it would just rip people in half, but you could totally tell it was a dummy. And then there's just blood squirting everywhere. It was so horrible.
Did you see that?
But it was clearly a ripoff.
You see the trailer for The Meg?
Yeah. Yeah,
it could be nice fun.
It's probably going to be lame, but it looked fun. Yeah, I mean,
see if it's the
I love shark the movies. Like 47 meters down, is that what it's called?
Is it called The Reef? Have you seen that?
No. The Reef's I want pretty to. Good. That's the one with
it's pretty good.
Ben Affleck's. No, not Ben Affleck's. Ryan Reynolds' wife, right? What's her name?
I'm real
She
bad
was
with
in
that
the stuff, Gossip Girl or something like that.
But we watched that. I think we watched that in October. Is kind of a scary movie. And
is it good?
Yeah, I liked it. It is a beautiful movie. Beautiful.
What is her name? Dang it! She was in Green Lantern. She was I can't remember her Green Lantern character's name either.
I ain't deep on that.
Dang it!
Let's see here.
Thank Who's goodness for editing.
Adrian Pickering?
No, we must be thinking of a different movie.
That's the same. I think this is the same movie. 2010 horror movie.
It might be a different one. No, this movie, the one I'm thinking of is not 2010. It was like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, I think this is the... No, you're right.
I'm thinking of a different movie.
This can't be right. What movie am I thinking of then?
All right, I got to go to...
Dun, 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 this is going to have to be some editing. Dun,
dun. That's fine.
It was called The Reef. Or no, you know what? It's called The Shallows.
Well, 2016. And her name is Blake Lively.
Blake Lively, yeah.
Is that the one you saw?
Yes.
The Shallows with Blake Lively?
You know what the messed up thing is? That I kind of remembered it as The Reef, and there is a movie called The Reef that is about a girl surfing, getting eaten by sharks that I was just looking at.
What about, is it Soul Surfer? The one with where the girl gets her arm ripped off by the shark?
I don't know.
That's actually a good movie. It's got Helen Hunt in it, and I think Dennis Quaid is the dad in it.
Oh, Quaid.
Full circle.
Quaid.
But that's actually a pretty good movie. I think it was called Soul Surfer.
You know what? There's your challenge. Watch The Shallows.
Okay.
Get a hold of it.
Done. That gives me a good excuse.
It has, you know, we'll talk about it when you see it.
I like shark movies.
Oh, I think this is a very good shark.
There's one with Mandy Moore. I think it's 47 meters down or something like that. And it's her and her sister get stuck in a cage at the bottom of the sea and all these sharks are around.
Do you like Deep Blue Sea?
I actually did a little bit, yeah. It wasn't bad. LL Cool J's in it.
Yeah, it's corny enough that it's...
Thomas Jane, who played Punisher in a Punisher movie.
Who hasn't played Punisher? Let's talk a little bit about it. Since you...
Before we go to Punisher, I actually... The riff tracks led me to Sharknado, which I had never seen before.
That Sharknado is one of the ones where I feel like it's trying too hard to be a bad movie.
Oh, yeah. It definitely is. But if you watch it with the riff tracks, guys, which I did,
okay,
it's worth it. It's a lot of fun because they point out all the continuity errors and how ridiculous it is. It's pretty fun.
I religiously listen to How Did This Get Made because they're not following along with it. They're just taking notes. That Giant Bomb show, the Giant Bomb podcast that I listen to occasionally does a series they call Film in 40s where they watch a movie, and that's very much that Riff Tracks thing where they're watching a movie and drinking 40-ounce liquor, so they get drunker. But I haven't actually sat down because my hearing is kind of bad as it is, so I'd have to have headphones in listening to them watching the movie while I'm watching the movie, and I just I haven't gotten around
to it. It's hard to keep track of.
They've watched, they did a Nicolas Cage thing. They watched a bunch of his. They watched Face Off. And I think they might have watched one of the Ghost Rider movies. And
I can never do a Nicolas Cage impression. Nicolas Cage.
I think it's that you have to be more expressive about it.
Yeah.
I think I kind of had it for a second there, but.
Yours is better than mine.
I don't think I was getting it there, but.
Okay, you were going to talk about The Punisher.
I interrupted much to say you. About it, just that it's an amazing. It is an amazing movie. The other bunch of them, like the Dolph Lundgren one, is like he's like a Ninja Turtle living in the sewers.
Oh yeah, basically. Yeah, and it's just like it was kind of set up like a video game because he would go level to level and just kill everybody on the floor.
But I mean, that was in the early 90s.
Yeah, that was way early.
I don't even know. I don't know what that was. The Thomas Jane one's okay. Thomas Jane one's okay, but I think one of the, having read a bunch of Punisher stuff, one of the things that I feel like misses the mark a lot when they make these movies is they want to humanize the character. They want to make the character sympathetic.
And right.
The stuff I've read, my favorite stuff about that character is when they are not making any bones about what a monster he is.
Right.
And Punisher Warzone gets much closer to that.
Just but killing, it's also killing, it is killing.
Just also so hilariously ridiculous, you know, shooting a parkour gang member out of the sky mid flip with a grenade launcher is for anyone in the audience who has not our vast audience who has not seen Punisher Warzone.
We are coast to coast, Jake.
Please watch Punisher Warzone. It's pretty fun, and it's like I said, it does a little better with. Not trying to make you feel bad for Frank Castle. And the one on Netflix is pretty good too.
I want to go back and rewatch the Dolph Lundgren now.
I don't, you know,
it's been a long time since I've seen that.
I don't think it's I just don't even think it's really a fun movie.
Is that the one where Nick Fury is played by Hasselhoff?
That was a TV movie.
Oh, okay.
It's not that one.
All right. That would be even better. Are you a Lundgren fan? Dolph Lundgren?
I got nothing really against him.
Do you like the Rocky movies?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
are you excited for Creed 2? I am.
I haven't looked into it. When I heard... So my experience
with it is... Did you see Creed?
Oh, Creed is Creed's, so good.
It's an amazing...
Creed is so good.
I would rather watch...
I wanted to pick up my house and start bench pressing it.
I would rather watch Creed than any real boxing match.
The training montage in that is so... Like, just that... That movie is great.
Sports movies overall are terrible. Whether it's the cinematography, the acting, they do not... As somebody who's played pretty much every sport...
Are you going to besmirch the good name of Necessary Roughness?
Yes, except for Kathy Ireland. It doesn't translate except boxing. Boxing in a movie is far superior to the real boxing. They up the intensity of it, the stakes are higher.
The Rocky movies,
especially the Rocky movies.
The Rocky movies in particular, the fighting in it is kind of silly. Of had like these crazy haymaker swings they're taking at each other, and no one's going down. And
I love watching the fights in the Rocky movies. And Creed, that was an awesome fight. Yeah. So Creed 2, where they're bringing back Dolph Lundgren, son is going to fight Creed. It's revenge.
No man, I guess we'll see. We'll see.
I think it's going to be awesome.
Oh, we'll see. That's like...
Views can change.
The idea of
eyes
Rocky,
can change. Views can change.
The idea of Rocky training Apollo Creed's kind of deadbeat dad kid. That premise
illegitimate
was,
kid.
That premise was kind of a like, oh, like that sounds like a really hard premise to put across. And it worked. So when
I think if it had been Apollo's like... legitimate kid, he might have, I don't know, there might have been some spoiled kid there or something like that, but this you felt for him because he was the underdog, because he had been outcast by his real dad.
He was, it made him the Rocky of that movie,
right? Yeah, and you wanted him to succeed.
Creed was a good way to see off the Rocky character by and large, so I think that...
I thought he was going to die in the last movie.
Yeah.
I really did.
But, you know, even though he doesn't die in it, I feel like it was a good way of saying, okay, relegating him to that smaller role, but making it like the son of Ivan Drago, and it's like, man, I think you one step too far. But we'll see, I guess.
I'm on board with it. I'm happy for it.
I like anything Michael B. Jordan getting to have an amazing career.
That's more realistic to me than like the Star Wars universe, everybody being related.
No, that...
Because the boxing world is an insulated, small society, so you can see that happening.
I'm
not going
to go against you on that one, because yes, I am against the idea of the Star Wars universe is like a small town in Kentucky where everybody knows everybody.
Now, if Rocky III has Clubber Lang Jr., then maybe we'll have a discussion about...
You know, maybe. This generation does need a new Mr. T, though.
They do. So bad. Who could be the next Mr. T?
I wouldn't dare to speculate.
I pity the fool that tries to be Mr. T and can't do it.
Have you ever seen The Wire?
No.
See, I was fortunate to get in, later than I should have on The Wire, but early enough that when Michael B. Jordan started getting roles, going like, yeah, Wallace is getting roles, yeah.
Like, I liked, what is the superhero movie that he was in? It was unofficially a superhero movie where they all gained powers. It was kind of like Power Rangers.
I'm not sure.
Oh, I cannot remember what that's called.
I just know he was in that really bad newish Fantastic Four.
There's a movie and Michael B. Jordan's in it. And anybody listening to this, you're going crazy because you can think of the name of it. It's one word. It's a one word name. But him and his friend, they're not even all friends, I don't think.
Is it Heat?
No, it's not Heat.
Is it Creed?
No, look it up. Look it up. Spectacular. Look it up, because it's going to drive me crazy. Or I'll look it up.
No, look it up. I get it.
But they all gain powers. They find this meteor or something. I can't remember exactly how it goes. But it's such a good movie. I'm just going Creed. It's faster than Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan.
He's in Fahrenheit 451. I need to watch that.
That Fantastic Four movie was not good, by the way.
It was so bad.
I didn't mind him in it so much. Okay. The movie that I'm thinking of is called Chronicle.
Oh, okay.
And it was like 2014, 2015, something like that. But that's a good movie. I might have to save that one for another challenge watch.
They're having the same problem with Fantastic Four that like DC movies are, where they're like, we need to make this thing more grounded and serious. Like, no, you need... You're having that same problem with Superman. We're like, no, we don't need that to be the dark universe.
Have you seen the Roger Corman version?
No.
It's actually, okay, my son made me watch it, and I thought it was going to be terrible, but it's actually not bad.
I'm waiting for...
Dr. Doom is actually Dr. Doom.
That's what I'm saying. I need third-person referential, corny, just chewing scenery, Dr. Doom.
You can find it on YouTube. That's how we watched it.
I don't know. The thing is that they're going to have to, like, we need like a Fassbender Dr. Doom.
Yeah, that'd be good.
We just need someone who can be out of control with it. And
I can bend metal, Charles.
and it needs to be more upbeat. So we'll see. That one's going to eventually come back into the fold, and hopefully it'll be...
If you ever have a day where you just need something to do, Watch the bootleg Roger Corman. Yeah. It is Roger Corman, right?
Yeah, it's Corman.
It's not Harvey Corman.
It wasn't actually Tim Conway.
It's actually not bad, though, considering what it was.
Yeah.
It's okay. I would say it's as good as the Michael Chiklis, Chris Evans, Fantastic Four, Jessica Alba.
Those aren't necessarily... That movie was not necessarily poorly cast. It's just not. It's just kind of stinks.
My son likes to point out that Marvel movies have been giving Johnny Storm second chances.
Yeah.
With Michael B. Jordan and Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Both redeeming themselves.
We're sorry you went through this. Now please do the good job.
Well, we should probably be wrapping this one up.
Yeah.
We're about 70 minutes in on this one, so.
Ooh, hokey spooky. Yeah,
it was all Monkey King crazy.
Ugh. Watch Monkey King too. It's the best.
Watch it, guys. It's fun.
Oh yeah. All
I'm gonna right. have there's a show I accidentally got. I was renting Drunken Master from Netflix.
No, those are I like those movies.
But I got a different Jackie Chan movie. It's called Fantasy Mission Force I made a copy of it, everybody. I've got it somewhere in my house. If
Lars Ulrich, if you're listening, I got a pirate for you.
It's in one of those binders of DVDs we used to have back in the day. And if I can find it, I will bring it to you and make you watch it. Okay. It is, if you like The Monkey King for how wacky it is, this is beyond anything you could ever dream of. There's like car surfing Nazis. There's bunny hopping vampires. It's insane. There's giant explosions. There's Amazon, ribbon dancing Amazons. This is all made in China. All
right. That sounds okay.
It's so insane.
So, hey, before it gets too far, plugs.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully, I don't know if this will be out after my headline set, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'll be headlining at Wise Guys Ogden August 17th and 18th. It's all ages. It's $12. You can use a 2-for-1 coupon, so Matt makes it $6. It's going to be fun. Come check it out. Bring friends. Bring your enemies if you want. I don't care. Just come.
And if you want to see me, I can be found running down the street, grabbing strangers and anyone I can find, telling them to watch The Monkey King 2.
And please, tell people to get on board with this podcast. It's fun for us to do.
Yeah.
And it's spreading like wildfire or herpes. We haven't decided which one we want to go with. Management's pushing herpes.
You know, if you got an affinity for us, just get someone to give it a shot. Worst thing, they listen, they hate us, they drop it. It's not going to kill them.
Yeah, of course. Nobody's going to hate it. If they hate it, we hate them.
We're coming for you, people who don't like us.
Yeah, if you hate us, we hate you. So there.
For Late to the Party with Travis Tate and for Wukongs out there everywhere, I'm Jake and...
I'm Travis Tate, and better Tate than never. Ooh.